Hi, I'm Doug Gordon, and you're listening to Beta from Wisconsin Public Radio.
The women of the past were anything but the doting caricatures they're often made out to be. They were under a lot of the same pressures when it came to dating and mating as modern women, and many of their solutions would be considered progressive, even by today's standards. Your lackluster boyfriend, your mixed feelings about children, whether or not to host a massive orgy, they would have been able to advise you on all of that. Whether you'd have liked what they had to say is an entirely different matter.
That's Jennifer Wright reading an excerpt from her book, We Came First, Relationship Advice from Women Who Have Been There. It's the fourth in a series of pop history books that Jennifer has written highlighting women. Jennifer joined us to explain how she transformed a personal passion for history into these informative, irreverent books.
I used to run a women's website called The Gloss,
And
it was about fashion and beauty, and I started doing this column called Shelved Dolls. It was all about famously fashionable women from the past who people might not remember very well. And I was shocked that it immediately took off, that it very, very quickly became the most popular feature on our site.
Oh, wow.
And I really didn't expect that. I didn't realize there was such a hunger on people's part to learn more about these women who had existed 50 or 100 or 200 years ago. And once I realized that, I started talking to agents about how we could develop the idea into a book. And at first, I think I just said, like, these are some women I like. Can I write about them? And they said, no, you need to figure out a topic. So I tried to think about the topics that would allow people to relate to these women or these situations even more. And I hope this book is one where we do that really well.
Can you talk a bit about the premise behind We Came First?
The premise is that it's written in a Dear Abby style, where somebody writes to a woman of the past asking for advice on something going on with their life. And then based on how that woman responded to events in her life, or hopefully letters that we have from her, she writes back with advice on what she did in a similar situation.
How did you come up with this idea?
My husband refers to all the historical figures that I study as being my ghost friends. And I turn to their experiences a lot personally for advice. It's nice to see how people I admired, or at least people I'm very interested in, sometimes people who I desperately don't want to end up like, responded to different situations in the past.
You also had to create fictional questions for each of these women of history to answer. How were you able to match the tone of the questions to the women giving the advice?
Well, I think we knew the women first. We knew the women first, and I kind of had a vague idea of, okay, well, Empress Josephine went through a pretty big divorce. We should put her into the divorce section and then work backwards a little bit from there, depending upon how she felt about it. So I think it was about half and half. I think starting out, I knew there were some questions that I would definitely want to ask. I knew I wanted to work in maybe someone who had ambivalent feelings about motherhood, which is something that I think the media has talked a lot more about in the past 5 years, and I think that's really interesting. So I definitely wanted to get someone from the past on that. But it really was a mix. It really depended on – there were also situations where I would be reading about some figure, and then there would be a note of there's another figure who had a similar situation. And then I would jump over there and realize, oh, my gosh, this woman is just so interesting. We have to put her in.
Yeah. Which part was more fun for you, creating the questions or the answers?
Well, creating the answers is definitely easier because other people did all the work in their lives. Creating the answers and trying to come up with the right tone that I thought women would actually speak in. Obviously, Pope Joan's tone is going to be very different than Marilyn Monroe's tone.
Yes.
Yeah. Thinking about that was very fun for me. And really, some of the women that were the most fun to write were women who were giving advice that I did not think I would give. I have no desire to murder my mother-in-law like Marguerite de Valois, but I'm glad somebody went for it.
Yeah, and I'm sure your mother-in-law is glad that you have no desire to murder her.
We're all collectively glad that I don't want to murder my mother-in-law.
One of the great things about your book is that the advice that these women of the past give isn't necessarily good advice. Why did you take this approach?
Well, I don't think all people give good advice.
That's true. I think
that there are probably, you know, if you're having trouble with the members of the opposite sex, you shouldn't go to your friend who got divorced 2 days ago and maybe is not feeling so great about them.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to encapsulate the fact that some of these people give advice that I think is very questionable. And I hope I make it clear that nobody should go out and murder their mother-in-law. I think you'll go to jail. But I did want to capture a wide range of advice, and different people have different experiences.
Do you have a favorite example of the bad advice that one of these women in We Came First gives?
Oh, you know, I Nell Gwynn, dealing with a competition. Dear Nell, I'm in a real predicament. I have a crush on a man who seems great, but he already has a girlfriend. I would really, really feel that he and I would be a better match, but trying to steal him away from his current partner feels tacky and immoral. But then, can you really steal someone? Are there circumstances under which it would be okay to pursue him? I guess I'm just conflicted. Dear conflicted, poison her food. Don't kill her. Lace it with laxatives before they go out on their next date. That's what I did to Charles's mistress, Moll Davis. I invited her to a lunch fortified with laxatives. She spent the night on the chamber pot rather than in the king's bed. And then I swooped in like the kind of sexy angel who poisons people. Was it wrong? Is all fair in love and war? I don't know, but I think a thorough cleanse is fine. And besides, you can't steal a man. He's not a flower pot. You must only look for ways to make yourself more appealing. Besides, my plan worked out great. I remained the king's mistress for 17 years, and my boys were given royal titles. People are still writing books and making movies about me. No one remembers to include that laxative incident, though. Don't poison your rival's food.
No, not good. But I
did think that it was a very sassy, very Nell Gwynn type move. She was known as Pretty Witty Nell. And she did a lot of very funny, very brazen things in her life.
Mm-hmm. That is so Nell, isn't it?
It's so Nell.
Yeah. Which one of the women you profile in your book has the best advice for women today?
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, I think that's impossible to say because I think it entirely depends on what you're going through. I personally love being married. I love what it represents. But if you really feel pressured into that and it's not an institution that's for you, you might find comfort in Simone de Beauvoir's advice about how marriage can be very detrimental for both parties and how it's not something that works out well. Or Queen Elizabeth or Coco Chanel, who talk about how their careers became much stronger because they chose to remain unmarried.
Mm-hmm.
Or you might, again, I am also monogamous. I really am so square compared to any of these women. But you might enjoy reading about Victoria Gordon Woodhouse, who had four husbands, or Lucrezia Borgia, who was organizing orgies. I think it depends entirely on where you're at in your life and the advice that you are receptive to receiving.
Yeah, yeah. Very well said. You've been married for about 2.5 years now, and you have this whole section on marriage. This section features Queen Victoria's advice on motherhood and Frida Kahlo's advice on having your own space, which she literally did. Have you drawn on any of the advice in this section for your own marriage?
I mean, this is embarrassing. I have a very, very happy marriage.
Why is that embarrassing?
It's so uninteresting. My husband and I want to be around each other all the time. So
nice.
I read him Frida Kahlo's advice, and we were both horrified by this notion that you would live in a separate dwelling from your partner. How would you hug? What if you find an interesting fact and you need to tell the other person immediately?
Yeah.
So I couldn't imagine doing that, but I also have friends who are bicoastal and live separately from their partners, and it's wonderful for them.
You mentioned your husband. He's Daniel Kibblesmith. He's a staff writer for The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. If you don't mind my asking, what does Daniel think of your book?
Daniel is a ridiculously big supporter of everything I am doing, so I am certain he is alerting all of our friends to this interview right now as it's happening. I feel like it's probably a little easier for him to enjoy stories about interesting historical women like this. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, every day when he comes home, usually the first words out of my mouth are, guess what I found out about Josephine Baker today? You're not going to believe this. So, yeah, my research and my reading is a big part of our relationship.
Yeah.
It was probably less pleasant when I was writing about historical plagues. And we would be having dinner,
so.
And I'd be like, yeah. Do you want to know how the pus Jules for? Would that be that fun dinner conversation?
Yeah. What's next for you? Another pop history book?
I have another book coming out next year. This one is called Slay, Women Who Killed. So it's about female assassins and poisoners throughout history.
Ooh.
And I wanted to write it because as a woman, I feel scared so often in such a real way, anytime I'm walking by myself when it's dark. I was interested in what it would be like to be a woman who actually makes it a scary time for men and what it's like for what it was like for female assassins to exist. What would it be like to be this person who nobody is really scared of, who also has the ability to kill, and it's been fascinating to read about.
Mm-hmm. So we'll see Lizzie Borden in there, I'm
You
guessing.
Will definitely see Lizzie Borden. And by the way, she did it. I know there's controversy. She definitely did it.
Yeah, yeah. Looking forward to that. Jennifer Wright, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Jennifer Wright is the author of We Came First, Relationship Advice from Women Who Have Been There. Find out more about Jennifer at WPR.org/beta. Well, that does it for this edition of Beta. Thanks to our guests, Josh Behrman, Mike Moe, and Jennifer Wright. And a hat tip to Judith Heisey-Kavalik. If you want to hear it again or binge on past episodes, subscribe to the Beta podcast via Apple Podcasts or wherever you catch your favorite pods. You can keep up with us during the week online at WPR.org/beta or on Twitter at WPR Beta. Beta is a production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Red Meat Productions. Special thanks to producer Brad Colbert.
So he shows up there, and then Brad walks through the door. And he's like flipping the F out.
Our music and technical director is Steve Gotcher.
If I'm going to trip, I want to trip here, man. Walk in the woods, not my home.
Our executive producer, nay showrunner, is Adam Friedrich.
I don't dig him. And I don't think the vibe he brings on set.
And thanks to you, our alphas. We'll see you next week. I'm Doug Gordon.
He's a genius, you know. I mean, a once in every 50 or 100 years kind of genius.